would you like to know more? Would you like to know more?
Welcome to the War Master Podcast, episode 92, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, listeners, and I hope you are as well as you can be.
Oh, well, I'm sure they all are. I'm sure they all are. Well, that's the ones that aren't.
Yeah.
I'm sure those ones that aren't well aren't
get,
well.
Should get better.
you get well. The people that are well stay well. Don't move to England. God almighty, we've gone from, like, I had like, sunstroke last weekend.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I had thermals on, gloves, hats.
Yeah, yeah. So we went from an extremely hot a couple of days in April, where it was breaking, like, some 70-year-old, like, Equals record or something.
Yeah,
like
it was hotter than Africa.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah. And then, and now we've gone down to well below the average, what it should be. It's bloody freezing out.
It was almost zero yesterday with the wind chill. Mm. It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Fucking country.
Who says global warming's a thing?
Not Donald Trump. Oh, we don't need to do politics.
Yep.
We don't need. Although she did go today, Amber Rudd.
Yeah, I saw. Like
after that, finally admitting
but
she.
But that seems like strange. There's no consistency with when politicians like resign. Like some don't resign when they really should, and some resign when like it doesn't seem as bad as it felt. Like I don't get it. Like,
well, this was pretty bad.
To be honest, I'm surprised Corbyn didn't resign for not saying congratulations
within 3 hours.
Yeah, 3 hours.
That's a hanging offence. But basically what had happened is the bullet shield, the human shield that she was held up, it was so riddled with holes that it just collapsed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Amber Rudd thing is pretty bad, isn't it? I mean, she can only say, well, just blame up the person before me, because that's the thing she can't say. She's like, that's the get-out-of-jail-free card for any politician.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
You can't say that, because that's your boss. So,
yeah, God. Oh well. Mm-hmm. Onwards and upwards. So today, what are we talking about, Paulus?
It's Kickstarter. So we thought that since Barry has run a very successful second Kickstarter, it would be a good idea to chat in general about Kickstarters, projects I have backed, projects Barry's backed, what we think about them. You know, perhaps, you know, our own opinions, obviously not as gospel. And, you know, it was an interesting episode before we then crack back into reviewing War Master Armies.
I'm playing games,
yes.
Yeah, because I'm through the other side almost now, just the 10% to deal with.
Yeah, there's basically,
I'll talk about the 10% in the Kickstarter.
And once we've done this episode, we're going to try filming a little War Master short.
Yeah, we had an episode planned for last week that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That was because I was just a bit tired again. I think I might need my meds up in again. I might need the juice pumping up again. Because one thing about recording a podcast is you've got to feel lively. You can't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you don't feel like energetic or like talkative, what are you going to say?
That's true.
So, mm-hmm. So that's why we're on today. So we missed one last week. Sorry about that. We'll try and not miss too many more.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. We just
obviously it wasn't me. It's never me.
It's never him. We've just resubbed for another year.
Yes.
So that's our gift to the punters, the listeners.
Yeah. Give it to free. We kind of paved to give.
No,
it
we
to
don't
you.
Kind of pay. We have to pay. We have to front up. I often wonder what.
It's not much though. It's like.
No, it's like about 80 quid a year. But what would happen if we stopped paying? Would they just disappear?
What?
Are we going to have to pay this forever to keep them available?
I don't know. I mean, God knows, really. I suppose.
Because that'd be weird, wouldn't it?
It'd be deleted.
Yeah.
It'd be like, oh, have you seen the new Avengers movie?
No,
then I won't say. That would make a pop reference.
So now I'm through the other side of the Kickstarter. It's on my list of things to do this week.
It's a very
when
good
the kids
movie.
Are,
it's a very
go swimming,
good movie.
Go swimming.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Go to the cinema in the day on my own without kids.
I watched it because I'm a shift worker. I watched it with other shift workers during a day. I'd like to have seen it in a full cinema.
No, I don't like full cinema.
No,
it's got
some quite funny bits in it.
Films like, binging among it. I'll laugh when it's funny. I don't need people to laugh.
I don't give a fuck.
I don't need people to laugh.
Robert Baratheon at the back there.
I've been watching quite a lot of Marvel movies over the weekend, and I watched Thor Ragnarok again, and that is without a doubt my favourite
really?
Marvel movie.
You really? I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. Man. It's the Cate Blanchett one, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's more about the interactions between like Thor and Banner and stuff.
Yeah.
Just and this like Australian rock Gladiator Man.
Right, okay.
Krill or something. It's just fucking awesome. You've got to watch it. I can't believe you haven't watched it.
No, I haven't seen it. Well, I haven't seen it. We weren't watching movies, so they're gone on the TV. I mean, like, they're gone off the Virgin Player, so there's no movie channels.
You remember those things, DVD?
I know.
You have to go buy a DVD.
Believe me, I haven't seen Black Panther either. But
I haven't seen that.
But that's like the third highest grossing movie or something. You know, like, went past Titanic. I mean,
those are self-fulfilling prophecies, you know, because now it's £13 a ticket, and when Titanic came out, it was like £6 a ticket.
I suppose, yeah.
And they're not adjusted for inflation.
No.
It's always most grossing of all time.
That's a point, actually.
It's a fair point, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, made me.
Yep.
Right, so, next time, hopefully, we'll talk about the Avengers
Infinity
Thanos.
War. It's good. It's really, like... I mean, Luke and Elisa, they brought me up to speed with the ones I've missed.
Well, so Thor was in it with his one eye, was he?
Yeah.
And no hammer.
Yeah, he's in it. He's in it big.
Yeah, sure is he, with his one eye and no hammer. Yeah.
But I think, in general, I would say that it's as good as a movie. Given the setup, it's probably they've done as good a job as it was possible for them to do, I think. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. But that ending, that last hour.
Well, hopefully Hulk's in there giving some shit. I like me Hulk. Hulk's very funny.
You should watch the movie, Barry.
I'll watch the movie. Hulk is the man. Maybe he's running his course. Maybe Hulk's going to go.
I think you should watch the movie.
Who knows? No, don't say that. I love him. He was really good in Thor Ragnarok.
You should watch the movie.
I don't know. But he was getting very worried, Tanner. No. In Thor Ragnarok, he was saying that if he keeps changing to the Hulk, he ain't going to come back. Because the last time in Thor Ragnarok, he was 2 years as the Hulk.
2 years?
Yeah. 2 years without coming back.
Really? He's not that problem anymore.
Long time as Hulk. Right, so what have you been doing, you, me? Me, you.
So
you've had stuff.
Yeah.
And things.
I played down the club. I played Dave at Necromunda, which is quite cool.
Interesting. Table looked nice.
And then we played a game of Shadespawn.
Was the game any good?
It was good. Yeah, like, even though I bottled out and was driven off, I'd done more to his gang, so I ended up coming out. My gang improved more.
But you lost.
Yeah, my leader got critically injured, and then I had to spend tons of money paying out for a doctor just to shore him up, and I was like, oh, you know, but I couldn't dare lose the leader because he's worth so much value. Yeah,
right.
So
do they not have a handicap system where you can play with mercs to balance it?
There is, and it means the lower gang would develop more, gets more out of it. Anyway, it was a good game. You know, like in true Necromunda fashion, we have this lovely table, and Clarky's run me off a bit more scenery as well. You know, like, and but you only ever play in a tiny section of it. Where the
one corridor.
Yeah, basically, where the battle goes on. So, never mind. But, and I enjoy playing it, and it was Dave's first game, so we were, like, going through how it... You know, he's quite intuitive with games anyway, so it's, like, it's not difficult. And then...
Do they have an undead faction, then?
But they've got the new Vansar coming out, and they look super tech. And then we played some Shadespire afterwards, which was good. Really tight game of Shadespire. The first round was a draw.
Yowzers.
Yeah. But we didn't get to play the third round, so we couldn't have a decider.
Speed up, then.
Well, but that was the point. It was playing it after the thing you were meant to do.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Thursday, I played Eric at Batman the Miniatures game. And this is my Joker crew, just to show Barry what they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very Eric.
Are they deliberately different scales, these?
I know, they do look it, don't they?
Oh, they don't look it. There's some metals, are these metals?
Yeah.
That look like fucking 50% bigger than the plastic.
Yeah, so the in Batman Miniatures game, the resin ones here are the second edition,
right,
which is the new version of the game. Those ones are older sculpts, and yeah, they do look quite a lot larger. There's the characters haven't changed much between, it's just how the core rules are. And trying it out, it was really good fun, actually. It was like, a very Eric style game where it's the characters are, it's about their interactions on the table and like loads of objective pieces and you're trying to score victory points. It's a nice game system. But to be honest, when I first heard about it, I thought, well, you're Batman and some henchmen, is that what you want? Actually, it is good. So you have your boss.
Riddler, actually.
Yeah,
not Batman.
Yeah, so I'm the Riddler. I have a sidekick, his like female like girlfriend who's bipolar.
The women have ridiculously thin arms and legs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just preposterous, man. They're like matched.
They couldn't take one punch, could they?
But it's the same in the Marvel one as well. Yeah. I don't know if it's like a deliberate thing to kind of make them smaller, or that they're just doing like real scale. Whatever, yeah. But they're so thin.
So I picked up that stuff from Tom Pugh. And then...
And what are these fellas then? These big...
So that's the electrocutioner. I didn't know him from the stories. And that's Deadshot.
Okay.
Yeah. But I traded some of my... So the X-Men models that I had that I wasn't... like, because we're not playing much Marvel at the moment. So, and I'm quite happy with the Avengers as a faction. You know, so I traded off... went on the right, on the Facebook group for trading, and cut some really nice deals for more Batman the Miniatures models.
Okay.
So in the mail I've got, like quite a lot of... like, I could make probably another two groups, which is quite cool.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's from not costing me anything. Just in fact, I've made money on it because some of the trades were in my favour.
Yeah, Marvel stuff rarer.
Yeah, exactly.
Not available for a start.
And so I did that... And then randomly on Saturday, this is quite interesting. So I needed to be in Colchester, which is a town further down the road, for a Squadron night out, a Squadron 10th anniversary. So, and there was a War Machine tournament being played in Colchester. So I was like, oh, I could do that and then go from A to B, which I did. So I went and played three rounds of War Machine on Saturday. And I took a Nemo 3 list, a tier list, and a Kane 3 list. And, yeah, I played three games of War Machine. And, again, like, I don't know, I just... the games were good. Like, the first two games were quite tight. I played against this Grimkin faction.
The Malifaux faction.
The Malifaux faction.
Right.
And they've got some different rules. But they're not, like... I won the game. So it was... I didn't feel like, oh... you can't play these things. They're ridiculous. You just have to know what their special rules are and how to work around them mitigate them. But they do not look anything like War Machine models at all. So like they don't even look like they're from the same company. They just look like a different game system. But the third game was quite interesting. So I played this Nemo 3 list into the Krix Heavy Armor one. Black Industries, or so Black.
Is that the one Rodders was playing?
Yeah, yeah. So it's Dave's tried, where they get +4 armor to shooting.
Yeah. Like, oh, this is Krix one.
And I was like, I wanted to see that matchup because that's like, I'm told that's the Nemo 3 list that is the armor cracking one, and it did. Yeah, actually, I dominated the matchup. Even though he had this large buff for armor, I was still cracking out the damage. Yeah, with all my boosted damage rolls.
Because your electric's boosted.
Yeah, electric's boosted.
And then you can boost again.
And then it's a 4 dice in some ways. I've got two buffs in that list built in anyway. It was interesting. But playing the game, the guy I was playing was quite new. Mm. And he knew how to play the game, but he didn't spot early on how this was going to go down.
Right.
And he didn't do anything about it. So I just continued to take off his models.
Well, that's the danger of a game where you kind of... your crux is that you don't need to know the game. You just pick a good list.
Yeah.
And hopefully the list will win you the game.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's like he had his options because he had three of the Arknode little half jacks. Little light jacks. What are they called?
Depends which ones they are. But
on foot, like the classic...
The Ripper. The Rippers.
Yeah. He had three of them, but he never used them correctly. Like he never... just went... because he realised, like, I can't... my shooting is doing too much, and the scenario plays well for me because I can back off and still hammer him and not lose on scenario because the way this particular scenario that had been rolled and the forces, because he needed more units, he didn't have any units,
it sounds very rock paper scissors.
But he said he should have been rushing those arc nodes to threaten my caster and attempt and because otherwise he was the only way he was going to win. And he didn't try it, so I was like, well, this is only going to go the one way it did go. Anyway, but playing it, it took, in a sense, like, it's rock, paper, scissors, but it still took 2 hours to play out.
Yeah.
And I was like, it didn't really... I mean, I'm happy to play War Machine when it's there, but even though...
Well, you stayed ahead of me, then. But I've got more than £1,000 worth of War Machine stuff to order!
Well, you better do something about it.
I've got to chip out at some point. I've got cash out, and I've got no idea what the fuck I want.
Well, I told you I would take the...
Hold on, when I get around to ordering, I'll order all the trenchy stuff. What do I spend the rest of it on?
I don't know, because I don't want anything else.
Exactly, I'm just trying to get sealed stuff at eBay. I don't fucking know.
But it didn't make me, like, think, oh, I wish I was playing this game more. I did not think that.
Mm-hmm. Apart from spending a lot of money on, like, the war room, because I spent 60 quid on war room, there's not been one point in the last 12 months where I've thought, I need to play War Machine. Mm-hmm. There's been points where I think, oh, I'd like to play 40k because it's funny.
Yeah.
And it's easy to play. Or I'd like to play War Master, or I'd like to play Shadespire, or whatever it is. There's been no point in that year where I felt the need to play War Machine.
Well, that tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Well, it tells me that I've got a lot of stuff that I need to liquidate, but there's no market to liquidate it. How do you sell £5 worth of War Machine stuff into a market that doesn't want it? Well, you can't sell it, can you? You just have to...
Just give it away!
Just put it in a fucking box in the loft, or 10 boxes in the loft.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah,
and then that's the way
and
it
then
is.
Once, and then once a year, bring it out, see if you can sell it, not put it away again.
But the problem is that the stuff's too big. So you try to say, oh, here's a Crips army. It's like retail £3,000. Give me like 1,200. And people are like, oh, 1,200. Jesus, what do you want? It's already like 60% off.
I suppose. You've got a bit of a problem there, haven't you, Barry?
Well, that's not just me. There's a lot of people with the same problem. Because a lot of people spent a lot of money on War Machine over the years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've always sold off then what I didn't want, and I look at the Signa on the shelves here, and it's like, yeah, I could cut away because at the moment there's really only three Signa lists.
You've got to be careful because a reboot will have to come.
Exactly.
Because they've got to find a way to get people like me back in.
That's the thing, because if I sold off excess stuff, I know that some point in the future I'd probably want them again if I'm still playing the game.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to keep a couple of factions even if I bail out.
Yeah. So I don't see the need to it. I mean, I'd rather not, but sell off any of the excess.
But it'd be interesting how they choose to reboot this game.
But even if I probably could.
How would they do it? They need to force the games apart.
They need to delete their product lines.
No, I think they genuinely need to have, like, Hordes and War Machine separate now. Because they're so fucking big and bloated, and they don't even play very well against each other anymore. Hordes is, like, ridiculously overpriced.
Yeah.
Compared to War Machine.
Yeah.
Especially for the big stuff, like heavies.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I've got like two heavies. Oh, I've got like fucking nine heavies. It's like, what are your two heavies going to do against my nine heavies? I don't know, mate. They're going to lose.
Yeah. That's why I think that could be a solution.
But the blow is so big now.
The thing is like, how much, if you were running a shop, how much shelf space do you need?
I wouldn't get any.
But like, I'm just saying, like, if you were going to stock the game, you can't.
They don't even bother.
Can't.
They're not even making stuff available in the UK anymore. The stuff you have to buy direct from them in the US.
Yeah.
That's how the game's got. Anyway, fuck War Machine. I've had enough talking about that shit. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
All right, but you asked what I did.
It's like a burn brand on my soul.
Fine. Right, and the other thing that I've been doing is I've been painting up ogres for myself.
Yeah, no blue.
And, I've got two finished stands here of, what do you want me to call them?
Those things?
Yeah.
They're warriors. Armoured warriors.
Armoured warriors. And, I quite like the look I've done. They're lovely little models. And so I've been painting them up.
And you got yourself a commission.
And I got myself a commission out of it, so I'm going to do Barry's as well.
Okay,
while I'm doing mine, I'll do Barry's, for a few little pennies, a few groats.
Groats.
To, like, keep my children from starving, you know?
Children start.
Here's a bowl of brown hazel. Oh,
that's all they eat, is that?
That's some brown.
It's Hannah making the brown. The stuff they have to make, the puree, fucking horrible, tasteless glue. Right, so what have I been doing in Barry's world? Well, I played some games.
Yeah, what?
I played Shadespire against Simon Brown.
Oh, yeah.
That was all right.
But that was just an intro game, wasn't it?
Yeah, the fucking starter decks are rubbish.
Yeah, I told you, you should have.
I know, but he wanted to bring... He's quite... What's the word? He's quite particular.
Yeah.
So he wanted to play the starter, and then he wants to go and buy just certain packs to expand his card collection.
Yeah, but that won't,
it won't work, but that's what he wants to do. Anyway, so we played the starter deck, and it's full of stuff that doesn't do anything.
Yeah, of course.
But these are starter decks, so it's like, I'm playing the Marines, because he wanted to play Corn. And I got hammered game one, and then game two and three I won quite comfortably because I wasn't so aggressive.
And you learned his deck, yeah.
If you make them come to you and take them piecemeal, then they're not when they're strong enough to kill the Marines. If you go into there and let them all charge you, they'll chuck all the pieces.
Yep.
It's pretty straightforward. But anyway, my deck was full of upgrades that said stuff like whatever his face. It was only one specific fighter as well, Gaines Cleave. And you go, well, these are starter decks that are meant to play against each other.
Yeah.
Nothing on your side has any armour that Cleave means anything for.
Yeah.
So why am I going to spend my fucking glory on this?
Well, you don't, do you? So
like, discard that. And then the next one was like, this does an attack that's shitter than an attack I've already got. Why would I use this? It was like really poorly designed.
Yeah.
Because all it would do is just confuse people. Because they'd be like drawing cards and going like, well, I should play this because, you know, I get Cleave.
Yeah. But you don't need it.
Well, there's no point.
They don't wear armour. None of them do.
I don't even think there's a way they can get armour.
There might be some upgrades that allow them to count as shields as well.
Maybe.
Shields instead. Yeah.
Possibly. Maybe. I don't know. I haven't played the basic, that side of the deck.
I think there's a very good list out there for the Khorne boys, the Reavers.
The new ones?
Yeah. No, the new ones, the old ones. Okay. I think there's a good list in there, somewhere.
Some of them are pretty fucking shitty, though. Whatever you like to call them, Dangle Bros.
The Dangle Bros.
They really are bad.
Yeah, they're just there to die. When they do die,
but it's not like the rats or the undead, where dying is a benefit to you in that they can come back. There's a minor benefit in that three people have got to die. Yeah. For them to all to...
Yeah, yeah. So say the two of them die and they manage to take out some mook.
They ain't taking anything out, man. In this matchup, the starter game, they ain't taking out the Marines, those Dangle Bros.
No, they're like, dink them.
Dink them.
Have a dink.
So, would I play the game, the starter game, if I had to?
Yeah.
But it really doesn't have a lot of repeat play value. Mm-hmm. Not until you start breaking up and putting new stuff in the deck and stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does it still make me laugh? Yeah. Does it make me laugh online? Oh my god, yeah. The rules lowering level. Like, every time I think they can't go any further, it goes further.
But I don't think I just don't see. Fair. If you enjoy reading it, I wouldn't even think to go read it.
You've got to read. It's like Billy Big. I love the Billy Big Balls. This tournament game. You know, we're going to create a tournament game. Push it as hard as you like. It was broken within fucking 10 minutes, and every day gets broken again.
Every day gets broken again.
Because they just can't decide what the words mean.
Yeah. I suppose. But the thing, like, well, anyway, but yeah, but that's for Muppets who can't read English. But I've not come across an interaction where I think you're generally unsure. Like, if you can't just, how do you interpret the cards? Well, you interpret
it says, like, choose two fighters.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Your fighters.
What's not to understand about that?
Do they have to be different?
Well, yes.
Why?
Because it's two.
Well, you could choose the same one twice.
That's just stupid. But it's clearly not meant to be.
What if I only have one left?
Well, you can't. Well, then you choose the one you've got.
But you can't. It says choose two.
Well, then you have to choose one of theirs.
No, it's your two.
It says choose two of your own fighters.
Choose two of your fighters.
Well, then anyone gets a buff, yeah?
So I don't know what the fucking cards are. But people are arguing that I could choose the same guy twice.
No,
what if I only had one guy? Can I still do it on
probably.
The one guy?
No.
You start using words like probably.
Yeah,
probably
but,
cut
but,
it, does
yeah,
it?
But it's... Okay, so it should have said up to two of your own fighters that are different. That's what it needed to say.
Yeah. That's called templating. That's really important in card games that, like, words mean stuff. Because like people, there's like 78 people arguing like yes and no, and at the end of it, there's no answer.
No.
There's no infernal saying here's the answer.
Yeah.
Oh no. Because PP used to do that really well until they realised how hard it was.
Yeah.
And just stopped doing it. Where they go like, here's the answer.
Yeah.
Some purple guy would come in and say this is the answer.
Yeah.
Done. Move on.
Move on. Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Silly fucking game. And then it's...
I'm interested to see how long it'll be until they do Shades by Two.
I'm not.
No. I'm just interested to see it.
I'm not. I think it'll be too quick.
Too quick?
Oh, fuck. It'll probably be September, the next box set.
Oh, okay. That's good.
It's not good.
Yeah,
it's can't balance this shit. Get this shit balanced and get the cards done. And before you worry about bringing another 800 cards in or something, I'm pretty sure, even if they did a second edition, whatever the fuck, I'd probably stick at the first box.
And that's fine. But that's a game system then.
Yeah, because it's complete. Yeah. I can play. I've only
played with two of the eight bands. There's loads of playable value then in there.
Yeah. And it's liable. If they can't keep this something like in check, the next 800 cards are just going to be fucking loose.
I mean, but that's no different than in a Magic system of standard, isn't it? Like where they have these X cards are valid. I mean, like that's not a problem. That's not a bad thing, Barry. If you say it's like okay. I'm playing Chase Spy, but only that edition of it.
Yeah, that box. That's perfect. That's the way it should be done, I think. I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah, well,
if they've got any sense.
But that's easily, that's not a problem. It's very Magic.
Because then what they can do is move away from the mistakes made in the first and have a new set, new clean slate.
Yeah. Okay. We should wait and see.
Indeed. And no L's as well. That's another big bonus for me. No L's. So last week was Magic, it was Modern. Yep. I won the event with Infect. Which was
really?
Yeah, I can do that occasionally. And this week is Dominaria, which you probably don't know much about. But Dominaria was the world where Magic existed until they decided that there were different planes.
Oh, right, okay.
So for the first many, many years.
Yeah.
How many years? 15 years.
So it's the original.
The original plane was Dominaria. And we've gone back there. And the guy that invented the game is back involved with this set.
Okay.
Richard Garfield.
Yeah.
So it's a really good set. People have gone nuts. People are buying fucking shit tons of it.
Yep.
So it should be good. My first draft tonight. So this is the one where we sometimes have like as many as 30 people turn up at the pub.
Oh, so busy.
Busy as bastard,
Busy as bastards.
That's
a draft tonight, is it?
Draft tonight, yeah. Mm-hmm. Busy.
What time does it start?
7:30. Busy. Busy.
If I ended up playing, could I give you the cards?
Give me the cards.
Yeah, like I wouldn't need the cards. Can I give you the cards?
You can play for free if you give me the cards.
Oh, yeah, that's quite interesting. Yeah, all right. Okay, I'll see what I'm doing later.
Okay, if you it's up to you. I don't mind as long as you give me the cards. You can play.
Yep.
Right. Well, that's it. That's best meter.
Yeah.
And obviously Blackgate bullshit, and that's us. So our next topic is War Machine Rules Committee update.
Aha!
There's only a couple of quick ones and then one big one.
Yep.
Brr. So, the Beast Herd finally got through on V4.
Yes.
That means three versions failed.
Yes.
Which is a good thing. If everything just got nodded through with a doff of the cap and a seconded from a certain military expert.
Go on.
There was a bit of robust discussion around this one because this had potential for being abusive, the Beast Herd rule, because this is the thing that allowed them to come in. I think originally you had to make a little fucking map, didn't you?
Oh, God.
And put an X on a bit of paper and stuff.
Actually, there's something, me talking recently about playing in a Epic Armageddon tournament. Have I talked about that? Epic Armageddon on podcast.
I can't remember. When did you go?
Anyway, they had
the wooden spoon.
Yeah, the wooden spoon result. I don't think I have talked about that. Have I? Me playing in that Epic Armor. Yeah, the 21st. So, no. Well, yeah, I haven't talked. I haven't been on camera and talked about that.
Okay, well, we're nearly half an hour in, so maybe today's not the right one.
Maybe not today. Anyway, I came dead last. But I enjoyed playing the games, and Jim did turn up, which was cool. But
Jim the Gent,
because he doesn't live that far away.
Okay.
So I was scouting it anyway for a possible future event.
Okay.
War Master event. One of the systems they have there, you can like have orbital bombardments from spacecraft, but you have to do the same thing. You have to write down where it's going to drop.
What coordinates?
Yeah. And your opponent obviously has to take a walk, and they
still do that.
Yeah, I was surprised. Yeah. I'd have thought a simpler scatter system would have been better.
On the scatter dice, sometimes it hits.
Yeah.
Exactly where you want it. Exactly. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. Beastman Mark Herd brought Rule 4.
So, yeah, so it used to be, like, bonkers.
Yeah, it was... not fit for tournament play, basically.
So now they've got a version of what is effectively the ambush rule from the Skaven Little Cheese Monkeys.
Obviously, this is the point of the versions. It is the Mark 1 to Mark 4. It's the same rules. It's just worded better for the internationals, for everyone to understand it. That's all. That's the reason these different versions. And the only thing it did change is Chaos Hounds used to be able to ambush, and they can't now.
At all?
Not. No, not at all.
Not even on the board edge?
Nope. That was, they did not have the beast herd, herdkin rule. Rule one.
Mm. They were a fucking pain in the arse.
Runners, I mean, to be honest, I never saw them as that much of a problem because I've never seen an ambush pulled off in the games I played against them, where they've ambushed something and actually got into combat that turn.
I'm having the playtest with Jim where we were.
Oh, okay.
They were coming out of woods.
Yeah,
that was bad.
I've not seen that, but yeah, now Chaos Hounds can't even take that as an option. So.
They don't need any more buff.
No, nah, exactly. I mean, like, and,
shit, man.
And I suppose, and I'm, and like with anything, like you have to have your dreams ripped apart a bit, and then and be content with
what
you've got.
I've said many, many times, Chaos Hounds hit as hard as knights. They don't get hit as hard as knights,
yeah,
obviously.
Obviously,
but they hit as hard
I'm
as
invested knights. In us moving forward as a committee, and this is a way. I don't own a Beastman army, like, so I'm not invested in like, oh, I want them to be better than they are or something. I've actually been lobbying to make Skaven worse. You know, like, right, yeah. But it won't happen. It won't happen.
It won't happen. But the other things do have value to ambush.
Yeah,
I mean, they can come on that back edge and cause all kinds of problems.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, they might be basic infantry, but they're just as good as Empire Halberd is.
And Crossbowmen. They certainly have a place. And it's a, they also lost in the... Just in, like, to be complete about it, they did lose the... Woods rule.
Yes.
Not
yeah,
as part of this.
Totally.
That was in the army list rule.
Just deleted.
So they had a lot of shenanigans removed from their list.
Yeah, yeah. But I still it still plays. That's the number one rule. The beast herd, which you don't pay any points for, by the way. It's like,
and they had a premium charge.
Yeah, yeah, so
we
took that away. So you your 45-point beast herd infantry, half of the numbers can ambush for no extra points.
Nope.
And that does make the army play very differently. Yeah, it's into another army.
Yeah.
Like, that's their unique thing. Which is cool, which is what Beastmen are about.
Yeah. Is there a point in the game where they count as being destroyed, or can you keep them off all game? Your chaff. Say you're playing into something really hard.
What, as in if you never bring them on?
Yeah, like, if I was given the chance to keep my skinks off and they still count towards my break, I'd never fucking bring them on, would I?
No one's ever thought of that. No, it's not. No, there's okay. No, like...
Okay.
If you don't have them on by turn five, they're dead. Like,
is it because there's something in 40k like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
If they're not on by turn five, the cat is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, anyway, so Beastmen got through. That's good.
You need to lock the vote for Beastmen list to get approved, because that has run its time.
Okay, well, we can talk about that as well.
Yeah,
so they're now approved.
They're now approved, yeah.
Okay, excellent. So Beastmen list are
so
now
good
to go.
That means all the votes currently going are locked.
Good.
Yeah.
And then we had another interesting discussion around Trebuchet.
Yeah. Now, this... Hang on, a question about this, because this isn't a change to a list that we'd already approved. So how is making Trebuchets move or shoot, how is that different from making Skaven worse?
Because your thing was talking about a radical departure from the game for a list that's not even that good.
Well, yeah.
So why would you want to make... It's not about Paul's world, is it? It's like, people want to play Skaven. They might want to win a game with them occasionally.
No, they should lose all the time, because the Skaven are rubbish.
Don't make them any worse.
Why not?
If they're good, and they prove it overpowered, then you nerf something. You don't nerf something... You don't punch it in the face when it's already unconscious.
That's a very Skaven way. I think Skaven players...
I have interest.
That.
Paul wanted to give the Skaven Dark Elf leadership rules, so they kill each other.
Yeah.
No. No.
For no extra, no reduction.
We could give it to orcs as well. Why not fucking destroy them?
I suppose. But no, I, to be honest, when I play Skaven, I might do that anyway.
No, you feel free.
Yeah,
I won't stop you.
Yeah,
if you
like,
take them
off. If I roll a blunder with a subordinate, I think I'll kill that subordinate.
I'll tell you what, if you roll a blunder, they destroy the Screaming Bell, yeah?
No.
They run up and pull the bell down.
Ding, 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 ding.
So, Trebuchet got changed. It wasn't my idea, obviously. And I wasn't...
Grim.
I wasn't that keen on it to start with. But, but to be fair, I would never take Trebuchet. Never. They're too big. They're too hard to protect. They didn't move.
They do now.
Yeah, the kind of fight would just move away from them. You'd never go near them.
Yeah.
If they were going to shoot someone, you'd give them something to shoot.
Basically, you can move a trebuchet, but you cannot fire with it the same turn that you move it.
Yeah, and they move like artillery, 10 centimetres.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're still incredibly difficult to protect
because
of how big the base is.
But also, the Bretonian army isn't built around defence.
Or static No, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're not
because,
static.
Because they're not static. They're like, yeah, you could have layered defence of knights sitting in front of it, but why would you do that?
As soon as you expose, because they're on massive bases, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you expose their bases, the 40 by 40 or whatever they are.
Yep.
Or 40 by 60 or whatever the fuck that thing is. Massive, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I just pulled out a trebuchet for Barry.
So it's way bigger than a regular. It's twice as wide and three times
as
long.
Bases.
Yeah, so three bases.
As soon as
you expose that to anything with any flyers, it's gone.
Yep.
How are you going to protect it?
Well, it can. It'll get one attack back, that's it. It loses the fight, it's dead.
So the idea was to kind of hide them away, but as soon as you're giving it some line of sight, it then has line of sight to it.
Yep.
So, and there's still 200 points for two, and one of them isn't doing enough.
No. You can't take one.
Only just four shots,
yeah,
does it?
You won't ever do anything. Because, again, the Bretonian army has archers, but that's not enough. They don't have a defensive artillery piece, you know?
No, and each one of these is equivalent to a unit of knights.
Who means something. Who are nutters.
So, I mean, we've done it. We've given them a role, potentially. Yeah. I can't see them ever being used, even still. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not everything needs to be viable in every list.
No. You can't, like, goblins should not be as good as chaos.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are in number. If you've got, like, how many is that? Five units of goblins? Gobblins? Against one chaos warriors?
Yeah, that'd be an interesting fight. Can a unit of chaos warriors fight five units of goblins?
Gobblins. Probably.
Yeah.
We'll have to see.
Yeah.
Can two units take on 10?
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay. So good. And then, so beastmen have been finalised. Trebuchet, beast herd. And then Alice is getting very near to releasing the Wood Elves, I think.
Yes, yeah, definitely.
Good for him.
So he's pushed ahead and put a version out there. And I can see that version being the one that we release into the wild. So
it has had some
amendments to it. So, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, this gives us a 24-list army system.
Okay. With two more looking at next year. Anyway, so... well, I think that's enough War Master Rules Committee update,
yep.
And we'll do the KR.
Attention! If you need to get your miniatures safely from point A to point B, then get yourself a KR Multicase. KR Multicases come in all manner of different shapes and sizes, and have gamer-friendly pricing. So do yourself a favour and get yourself a KR Multicase today! Soft foam, hard cases.
Okay, so we're now going to discuss Kickstarters.
Yeah.
The glorious, fabulous world of Kickstarters.
Yes.
You say that all the time now since Shadespire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, what should we talk about first? What have you backed in this?
So, I have, on my Kickstarter page here, I have Kickstarters going back to 2013.
You were an early adopter.
I was, so I could quickly run through the ones I've backed and our thoughts on them. And then if you've then got any more to add...
I would laugh at one of them at least coming.
Yes, indeed. I think that's... But also, I'm guessing as a topic we can talk about what the product was, how long it... Like, if it was delivered, like how long it took to get delivered,
yeah,
and whether it was worth it or not, whether it was a good buy, like how it was done.
Okay, off you go then, sir. What have you backed?
The earliest my Kickstarter goes back to is in 2013, I backed the War Machine Tactics, which at the time allowed you...
Oh, what was that? Oh my God, that was that video game!
So it was like $68, which allowed you, like, journeyman casters, other nice stuff as well. It was a unique Warcaster model, unique journeyman Warcaster model, their rules, before they were released, and...
Alternative sculpts.
And access to some game. Now, a video game. And it was like, okay. It was a little pricey if you're just interested in the models, but that was all I was at the time. The problem is that when those models turned up, it wasn't so long until they actually got their releases anyway with alternate sculpts. The sculpt. So I got my, like, for example, Lieutenant Jakes here, and the actual official sculpt of her is, you know...
Better, worse.
I mean, like,
it
was quite subjective. Like, not they weren't like the Kickstarters were better or worse. They were just the same models posed differently. Yeah. And it also gave you one of the Warcasters who I can't see. Right,
I do remember the window being quite small between the release of these and the release of the actual models.
Yeah, it was.
But what was the game? Because that's
I never even tried the game. Yeah, I wasn't interested.
You paid £66 for a fucking
dollars.
Dollars for one miniature?
No, for two miniatures.
Two miniatures?
But there was other stuff as well. Like, you know...
Other stuff you can't even remember what it was. The power of Kickstarter.
Yeah, no, exactly. It was, overall, I would say that was a negative. It wasn't a good Kickstarter.
So Paul spent about £50 for...
Well, no, dollars meant less.
Dollars meant less back then. When
was that half... Yeah, it wasn't... They did mean less.
We had to pay shipping as well, didn't you?
Something like that.
So about £50 for a PC game that never got off the ground.
Yep.
Never. I don't know if it's out of beta or not. Who fucking cares? Nobody plays it. And a couple of miniatures, one of which is here, which was released quite soon afterwards. And this is a journeyman. And did you have
a Warcaster? I'm just looking for the Warcaster, but he is up here somewhere.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever, sir. So that was a negative. What's
Sturgis,
your next one?
That was his name.
Sturgis.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a big. Spear, pokey spear, didn't
pokey
he?
Spear thing.
Yeah. Okay, I'm much late. I came much later to this than
you. But I give it some more context. At the time, I was playing a lot of War Machine, and the Warcasters do different things. Like, you know, they're the main pieces. They are the king pieces because they just change how the army plays. All that, you know, their builds and everything. But overall, with what it was, I wouldn't have backed it.
Okay, so a few years before this, I'd once made the mistake of watching not a review, but, you know, like they trailer a game, says, oh, this is the game.
Yeah.
No, because it's not out, so you have to kind of go. And I actually bought a console for a game that turned out to be dog shit. And I wasn't interested in gaming, I just wanted to play this one. I think it was like a 40k game.
Oh, okay.
But the game was just absolutely.
Do you remember
dog
the game?
Shit. I can't even remember. It's some kind of squad command tactics thing.
Yeah.
It was just garbage.
Yeah.
Just garbage.
Yeah.
Not real time strategy, like turn based.
Mm hmm.
And it's like, why did I do that?
Yeah.
And it was the same thing for this.
We all make mistakes.
You see shiny shit.
Yeah.
Oh, this looks like a record. It's like, it was meant to be War Machine, like, played as a game.
Yeah.
With all the...
War Machine tactics, yeah.
Yeah, with all the same intricacies.
Yeah. But it never...
Too complicated.
Yeah, never even
joined. So what was next, fella?
Next is Darklands First Edition.
You got two for two here.
So two for two, 2016. So for £30, I backed the bid, which gave you a rule book. That was the one that just for the rule book.
But what was the models?
And then you got like an early bid model, that kind of thing.
Because you bought a faction for this that never appeared.
Exactly. This was awful. I'll tell it because Darklands First Edition, while I was waiting for it, Darklands New Kindreds came along. So I put an infantry starter. It was for 105. That was
105 notes?
Yeah.
Pounds, dollars, UK.
Hang on, let me tell the story. So, okay, so that was the faction I'd want to bid. These are the delivery dates, estimated delivery, 2015. 2 years later, still not turned up. Yeah, it didn't turn up until 2017. So,
the
rule book was 2014, didn't turn up until 2017.
And this was the rule book written by the autistic guy, with everything's just numbers.
Yeah, so complete failure, basically. The game could have been good, but it was so difficult to understand how to play it because it was like this book was, it was complex to the complex, just complex, and with no one able to teach you because no one knew how to play the game. And my models, when they turned up, they were nice, but I sold them on. I made the money back.
Well, that's good news.
So it didn't cost me anything. Really? Was it worth it? No. Should I have backed it? No.
But that's one of the things about Kickstarter. You see, you kickstart something,
yeah,
and the window of people being excited and wanting to play it, it doesn't last forever.
Yeah.
If it takes you 3 years to get the stuff out, the game's already dead.
Yeah.
No one's interested 3 years later.
No. I mean, that's the thing. This is the point of this topic, is to say, what was this issue? Its delays were ridiculous. And its messages were... And actually, when I never saw the... one of the models that was like the Kickstarter model. It wasn't in the package. And you're like, great. So incomplete orders are like, yeah, and incomplete, you're not given the pledged earned freebies, and for a game system that was dead on arrival. Yeah, I mean, maybe someone out there plays Darklands, I don't know. Maybe it's good, I don't know. But it's not here.
Well, there's enough people from my club backed it, but I've never seen anybody play it.
No.
Okay.
But I didn't lose money. I sold it on. So at the moment I got it, I just sold it on.
God, it's a good job I didn't join you in all these backings all these years ago. Yeah, two, oh for two so
not
far.
Very good. Well, really, there's two parts of it. But this one's a good one. So Guild Ball.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
56 quid back in December. Estimate delivery was originally December 2014.
I think they were pretty much on time, weren't they?
Pretty much, I think.
I think so.
And I got a single team back, and I got Masons, six players.
But all these Kickstarters so far were all phenomenally successful as Kickstarters,
well,
yeah?
Well, Gilbert was famously successful, yeah.
Yeah, but I think Darklands was pretty successful.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Tactics did quite a lot of dollar.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So, yeah, and obviously everyone knows the success of what Guild Ball became and has become and it still is.
Yeah, yeah.
So that is a massive plus. So would I have backed that one? Yes, I would have done.
Yeah, and I think some of the stuff you got in there was worth some money.
Yeah,
the Kickstarter stuff, it's not worth nothing.
Yeah, like there was other things in there.
Like, I can't imagine anybody's going to give you any money for your War Machine Tactics models.
No. I mean, right, you know, if... I think they failed it, didn't they? They did recently Steam Forge, I believe. They floated the idea of doing PVC plastic for like all of butchers and all of fishermen, but it didn't fund. I think that was the
really?
Case. Yeah, I think that was the case. Sharon will have to correct me, if I'm wrong. But they had
with those two factions, they're probably the most saturated in the market.
Yeah. I think, and that was the issue. They put it out there, but they put it out there not on Kickstarter, on a different. I think it's Indiegogo.
Oh, Indiegogo.
Like, where if it funds, great. If it doesn't, nobody spends any money. Yeah, you know, okay. Like, yeah. So it was like it, they needed a certain buy-in to do it, and the cast. You know, I thought actually the PVC like models, they looked better than the actual metal models. You know,
they've got a very good system of doing the PVC stuff.
The only, I mean, this is you know. This is a company that was 4 years ago. I mean, now. The original Masons I had, they were small. Like, the kick-off plastics of those Masons were much better sized. So, as in,
Did they release the boxes to go with the kick-off for those Masons and stuff? The second box? Was that?
I don't know. I can't remember. Yeah. But, as I remember, the delivery was good. Game was good. And, I replaced those original metal ones with kickoff models because they were... I didn't mind that they'd come back later, they were nicer, they were just sign of the times. So like, you know, things improve with age. Like, it's improve often.
But just one more point about the butchers and fishermen is that GW often said that the biggest problem was their own secondary market.
Yeah.
In that... we've talked about the Space Marines things. People have got so many fucking Space Marines, they had to make a new breed of Space Marines to sell you Space Marines.
Because
everybody already had as many Space Marines as anybody could ever have.
Yeah.
The market was flooded with Space Marines.
Yeah.
And that's probably maybe what happened with the fishermen and the butchers.
So the next two I have are a little unique ones. They are a game called But Wait, There's More and The Hen Commandments. Both of them were minor bids.
Did they fund?
Yes, they did. But basically because I on a holiday that me and Hannah had like, ages ago, we actually were in the group of people. The designer of those games was on the holiday. You know, we met and like spent a couple of weeks with.
What, he was on holiday while it was running?
I think one of them was, yeah. Or something.
Really?
Yeah, but it was his side job. He had a real job.
Oh, maybe he was like a contributor, like an artist or something, rather than
the game.
Because you can't take a holiday while the Kickstarter's running, I'll tell you that, because the fucking messaging and comments and stuff are non-stop.
Next one I'll talk about is Red Dragon Inn 5, the character trove, for $50. That gave
you... What happened to the others?
Well, so Red Dragon Inn is quite a funny card game, and the Red Dragon Inn gave you... It's up there, at the bottom there. It gave you a massive box... with cards for them all to go in. And it was quite a nice product. It was $50, yeah, and it funded nicely. That was delivered estimated delivery November 2015.
But you got no concept when it was delivered?
I can't remember. I mean, because it wasn't like I was waiting by the mail to get it, but it was because it was an add-on to a game I already had.
Okay.
And that was, would I back, successful? Would I back that? Yes. Would I have done that again? Yes, I would have done, because it was nice, yeah. Then one's a scenery one. It was Hidden Forest Terrain for Guild Ball and War Machine Mark III. So it was $70 for packs of flat scenery. Delivery November 2016.
Like 2D scenery, you're talking about.
2D scenery. Okay. Yeah, but lots of it. But since then, obviously, I wouldn't have backed that now if... Because I had a set up there of 3D Guild Ball official scenery. if Steamforge had done that earlier, I wouldn't have backed this.
Right.
Because I wouldn't have needed half.
But this is one of the things Kickstarter's good at, is filling gaps quickly.
Exactly. And at the time, it was an unreasonable amount. You got a hell of a lot.
Yeah.
But
this is basically just printed mouse mat.
Yeah, mouse mat, PVC stuff. Yeah, what was it called? Mouse mat, material. But nicely done. Yeah. Nicest on the market, I could see.
Yeah.
You know, and well, more than enough to populate lots of different tables. In fact, one of these sets, you could do several tables.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, would I back that again? Yes, I would have done. Ah, this one's close to home. 10mm Fantasy Ogre Miniatures from Blackgate Miniatures.
That's the first one.
I was an Ogre Chieftain. Delivery. Estimated delivery April 2017 for £78.
I can tell you that they did ship in April 2017.
It did?
Yeah. It did. I made that one by the skin of my arse. but it was definitely April.
So, would I back that? I love the model. I like the models.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Doing them now. And I would... Yeah, I would have backed that again. I mean, it was... If I didn't know, obviously, I'm backing, you know, my co-author here. But if I was a punter, and it was made clear that the intent would be to do the whole range in the future, so I would have happily backed that. Like, because that first Kickstarter didn't have enough to make an army.
You know. No. I mean, to be fair, it only just scraped enough to get the three units I wanted to do. Because one thing you will find, especially with these smaller Kickstarters, is quite a lot of... people back early, and then they kind of cancel late.
Yeah,
so it got really close. I think it needed £2,500 to get the three units. I think it finished at £2,500 and like £10 or something.
No, I mean,
it's going to be his teeth.
I tell you what, Barry, if you were shy something, I'd have helped you. Yeah, to make your dreams a reality. So then the next Kickstarter I have is 10mm Ogre Mammoth Riders from Blackgate Miniatures. 123 I put into that, and it was an Ogre Warrior Early Bird Special. Estimated delivery October 2017.
Yeah, not so good on that
Didn't quite arrive.
I could have quite happily, maybe, got the Mammoths out by October 2017.
Yeah.
The window wasn't that big. I was being really fucking ballsy, I think. Yeah. The last one, I kind of did the whole production in about 3 months. I said, I'll do it in 3 months, I didn't even get the...
But you're learning.
Didn't even get the sculpts till nearly fucking November.
But you're learning. And so this time, when you come back around to try the second race...
If
you've learned. So
that was well late.
It was 6 months late. Let's not pretend it wasn't. But now I have the stuff. With a nice apology from the writer, from the creator. But all the product is sound. Like, the models are great. It's a complete range. It's a total army. It's not overpriced. I would have backed it again. Definitely.
What's next?
That's all the ones that I've ever backed that have been delivered.
All right, so you're on
waiting.
Right, okay.
So we have A Song of Ice and Fire Tabletop Miniatures Wargame.
Oh, shit, you went in for that?
$150, Hand of the King. Estimate delivery April 18. Nope.
hang on, that's now.
That's today. No, it's probably November, I think it's looking at.
Really?
Yeah. It's not going to happen.
They said that.
Yeah.
So that's 6 months.
Yeah.
It easily happens, man. 6 months is. Because that was very optimistic. Yeah. When did you back that?
Doesn't say easily when that, you know,
when you back. It was after
last year.
Did it come after my one or before?
Yeah.
After.
Maybe don't know how
that's like summer last year.
It's just, well, it did come after. Anyway, these not be worrying, and it's just an order that Kickstarter's decided to show them. Anyway, we're waiting to see. Now, I'm quite intrigued to see how this game, like, the game looks quite interesting. The models look good.
Mm-hmm.
When it arrives.
What scale?
28mm. When it arrives, it looks like the new 28mm, like, Warhammer.
That's ballsy.
It looks to me like that. But when it arrives, will I sell it on? Will I end up, like, will there be a market? I mean, I'd like to think that I'll crack it all out and, like, play some games with it. Like, because obviously I love the license.
Yeah.
And there's a chance that somebody else I know, because when we were talking about it at the time, would take. There's two factions in there. We'll take one of the factions off.
It's not Stark and Lannister, by chance.
Stark, of course, that's what it's called. But I mean, they have big plans for this game system in terms of, like, it's got a big
delivery. The proof there, we'll see how much is then put out supported of it.
Because the problem with people like Eric is he always goes like fringe factions. He wants to be like the fucking
Greyjoys
or the Wookiees in Star Trek.
So we shall see. We shall see what happens if that becomes a game system of the future or not. Then I've got here Resident Evil 2, the board game, £70. Delivery estimate, survivor pledge, estimate delivery, September 18. And that's a board game. I know the writer, you know, of it, so that's why I backed it. And it's hit a lot of stretch goals. I shall enjoy trying it out when it arrives.
Did you ever play the video game? Resident
I did, yeah. Yeah.
I think I was the wrong generation for that. I think that's...
I probably wouldn't have backed this if I didn't know the writer, but I do know the writer, okay. So that's why I backed it. Yeah. So next one I've got Time and Legends, Joan of Arc. $120, the Maiden Pledge. Delivery day, estimated delivery, December 2018. Probably unlikely.
I keep seeing miniatures coming up. So I back this one as well. I might as well talk about it together because I back this together. So, I don't know why we both backed it.
No,
I did laugh about it before.
We should have.
Because we ain't going to need two copies of this game.
We're not, but never mind. But the thing that improved to me, obviously, its scale is 15 mil.
No.
No, it's not?
No, 16.
60, alright, okay.
Well, no, that's fine. Why need to scale it at 50? Why have you made your own scale? 16?
Anyway.
16 mil.
But the, I was particular. I looked at it and I was like, you're getting a lot. Like it was very, it smashed it. Like, you're getting a lot for its buy-in. And it had some fantastic looking pieces in it. And also, but also the scenery really appealed to me. Because even if the game's not great, the scenery we can use in Warmaster. Yeah, you know, like I looked at it. Like, it's got a lot of. There's a lot of pieces that are exchangeable into Warmaster.
I mean, just to put it into context, I recently paid the post on this. I think the post is about $30 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Fucking thing's huge.
Yeah, it's massive. It's going to be huge boxes when it arrives. We shall wait and see. I mean, obviously, I will try the game system. We'll see how good it is when it actually plays. But there is salvageable value of this for Warmaster, which is why I backed it. You know, why I backed it. Barry, you have anything to say about it?
Yeah, it was probably like only my third one I'd backed.
Yeah.
And it was like, I backed it because of how many miniatures there were. And the fact that I did think that even... I like small miniatures.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're easier to paint. Not that I paint them often.
Yeah.
But
easier
to store.
There's a certain right scale, isn't it? That perfect scale. Like, as I say, like in this Epic Armageddon event, some people have done some amazing... unique work, commission, like, you're on their own stuff, sculpted their own things, that kind of stuff. And they do, obviously, if GW was to do a six mil game, they would make the models look nicer, because they probably could.
I don't know if you... Oh, you mean... Like, infantry.
No, yeah, infantry. Yeah, it's infantry. Yeah, like,
6 mil infantry.
Oh, no, there's some amazingly sculpted little individual guys that some people have done. But, you know, the vehicles are bigger, and they look good.
Yeah.
In 10 mil's lovely for man-sized things. And 16 mil is not much difference between 10. You know. So the next thing I've backed is this fourth quarter football miniatures game, £70. The reason I estimate delivery August 18. The reason I've done that is I know the writer. He's a member of our gaming club. It's an American football game. I'll take the two teams. I'll paint one like the Patriots, and I'll paint one white, the Steelers, and I'll make Barry have a game of it. You know, like. But again, I backed that because I know the guy.
Okay.
And if I ever was in that position, it'd be nice if people I knew backed it for me. Will it be any good? God knows. I mean, you know, we shall wait and see.
We'll find out.
Mm-hmm. This one here, Highlander the Board Game, £29, delivery November 18. That's simply the board game made by Alessio Cavotti and another about Highlander. I randomly found that. The buy-in was very low. It looks fun. I love Highlander. Like, it's, you know, like, and the sculpts look fantastic, as in they are literally out of the movie. It'd probably be worth a few nice games. I'll enjoy painting the models. For £29, it's not a lot of money.
It's not a lot of money.
And Alessio...
Well, that says there's not going to be a lot of models in my mind.
I think like 8 or 10.
Okay.
Yeah, like, and Alessio has written really good stuff in the past. So why did I back that? Because of what it was, the IP, and who's doing it.
And then the last one is God tier. I've backed is for 79, The Chosen Pledge, which is estimated delivery is April 19. And that will get you quite a lot of factions for the years.
It's interesting that it's so far away. I mean,
yeah, but it's a year from when it was.
Yeah, but there are lots of people because they went alpha. They've already got the stuff and they're playing.
Yeah, and they're gonna be playing with the same models for a year.
Yeah, but how are they going to find new opponents?
I don't know.
If they weren't in alpha,
I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, that anyone who is playing this God tier alpha, which gets updated quite regularly, into we've changed the rules a bit now. That's what they are. The models they have at their disposal are only those eight champions?
I don't know, six. Because yeah. We have quite a few of our club
yeah.
do it.
Yeah, so yeah,
no,
yeah.
I see it regularly yeah. and they're being played.
But, I mean, a year is a long time.
But that's probably yeah. how long it's going to take to convert them all to
play. Oh, no, I say it is, but it's like those people playing the alpha, like, have a lot, that is the limited scope they have exposure to. Like, they can dabble with the rules, but...
And proxy other models, because there yeah. are other models.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. You could do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the other way.
Or the champions.
Yeah,
and
as you go.
I mean, it's a very interesting game that they've got, like, a champion, who's like a 50 mil model, maybe. They're fucking big. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe even bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yeah. What was that Inquisition game that...
Oh, yeah, 54 they were, weren't they?
Yeah, that kind of fucking size. You've got one really big yeah. fucking ass miniature yeah. and, like, a team of smaller miniatures that work
yeah.
with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your followers.
So, and then you pick, there's maybe as many as 12 different groups to pick from now, and you pick any three of those.
Yeah.
So the big guy and his followers, you pick three big guys, three yeah. sets of followers, but it's fixed. That's what you get. There's no yeah. subbing this in, there's no changing these followers around. This yeah. is like a little sealed package.
Yeah, because yeah, you, then your choices are the which champions, because they have set followers.
Yeah.
You know,
so it's a very interesting game.
So I backed that because a lot of our club do it. I know one of the designers. They've got good credibility from Guild Ball, the company. So, yeah. In fact, really, going over these Kickstarters, most of my Kickstarters are because I knew someone involved in it. It's quite cool. Yeah. So that's the Kickstarters I'm going on okay. about.
So,
there's others I want to mention, okay. definitely.
Joan of Arc.
Yep.
The amount they wanted
yeah.
was 100,000, and they got 2.15 million.
Boom! Which is how much percentage funded then?
A lot.
At least 200%, isn't it?
No, way more than that. 2,000.
2,000%, yeah.
More than 2,000. Mm-hmm. But only 1,000 backers, but yeah, so there you go. That was one. Because I'm looking on my. Because I didn't back anywhere near as many as Paul. So
that's everything I've ever done.
The other one that I backed. Because I've been backing more since I've created. Because it was won by Red Genie Games, and it was called The Brigade,
mm-hmm.
which is a little board game based around. It's like a high fantasy game. You go around. There's fires in like the Great Fire of London, and the fire's uh-huh. spreading.
Oh, right, you've got fire brigade.
Yeah,
all right.
And you're competing to go and put out the fires and stuff. Right. And it was only like $49, including
yeah.
shipping.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks like a lovely little game. It's about an Australian company. And it was at some point, I guess it will say when it was funded. It was funded on the 31st of August, and it's due out. Mm-hmm. I think it's like quite a way away. They said April 2018.
Yep.
That's not going to happen because we're already at April 2018, yeah. and it ain't here. And I ain't heard any word of it being here. So I guess that's one thing about Kickstarters: you have to kind of take a punt
yeah.
in that you give people the money.
Yeah.
And hope it's going to come.
It's not
at some point.
It's not as safe as waiting for the product to be on a shelf.
Well, it's definitely not. Because what's the comeback if something goes tits up?
None. Yeah, yeah.
Well, I don't know what it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could go to your credit card if you paid on credit card and say,
"Yeah,
I've bought this and nothing's happening." But yeah, it's weird. And then I backed The Roots of Magic, which is a little game by Dez, who I've known for quite a long time. Grand Arcanium Games. Again, with something like this, though, this is one of the things that I did back. It wasn't a lot of money, but it also taught me a lesson that if I'm not going to play something, I'm not going to back it just to put it in a fucking box in the loft. Because I backed this game, I haven't even unpacked it. He sent me the parcel. I backed it because he's somebody I've known for a long time.
Yeah,
he's trying to get this game off. But then, what do I do with it? I ain't even got engineers, just because I live in a box, and then, what, they're going to bury me with it?
Don't know. That's what they used to do with the pharaohs.
There's no secondary market for it, so it's like yeah. unless it's again, as much as I want to help support my friends and stuff, if it's something I'm really never ever going to play, then what do I do? Do I back it? I might as well just give them money. Say, hey, mate. That was the other thing. It wasn't, like, some of these Kickstarters aren't that person directly, are they? They're companies that that person works for.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, just buy them a Christmas present or give them some cash in an envelope, say, here. I was going to buy you a game, I'll just give you some cash.
I suppose, you know.
And I had, in my Kickstarter, I had a couple of people do that.
Yeah.
They said, nice, I don't want anything.
Yeah.
I don't want an ogre army, but I'm quite happy.
To see your company exist.
Yeah, to see somebody doing it. So yeah, they just chuck you, like,
it's quite nice,
20 quid
yeah,
or something.
I suppose next time I might, yeah, I might go down that route, I suppose.
If it's a case of you are never going to play this game,
mm,
I don't know what that would be for you. But for me, I know I have more limited time.
Yeah, yeah, no, and I'm realising that. Like, you know, I might, looking, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. You know, like, and I would change some of these Kickstarters, definitely. You know, so, but, yeah, there you go, it's fine.
Because sometimes I think to myself, even if I stop buying stuff, I don't have enough time to play them. And but you can't stop buying them. Like, I saw Star Wars this week.
Yeah.
The Legion.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 Star Wars Legion.
And the Luke against Darth was pretty cool, but
yeah, yeah,
the balance didn't look great, because how can you balance Darth Vader against some rebel troopers?
There's no way, there's just too few factions for that game.
There will never be enough factions
to make it. I mean, it is interesting. I like, it's like the models.
I don't think the Empire's short of playable stuff, because you've got, like, droids, you've got clones, you've got all kinds of stuff.
But
clones could be on both sides, couldn't they?
Yeah, I looked at that, and it's just the... So, Star Wars is cool and iconic, but it's only ever going to be... You're only going to want to be Empire versus Rebels. Like, you know, you're not going to have Empire versus Empire. That looks stupid. It looks stupid on the table when it was X-Wing. And that's going to look even more stupid with, like, 28mm scale stuff. Here's my Stormtroopers, there's your Stormtroopers. Whose Stormtroopers are whose Stormtroopers?
They're
not painted white, they look wrong. Yeah, like,
there's a lot of good stuff in the box, though. It's nice stuff.
Nice
stuff.
The models look good. I mean, apparently they're not well-designed pieces, but they look good, you know, overall, when they're painted, because they look exactly out of the movies. But some of the things don't translate well. Like, when I was at 40K, I was talking to Andy. So they have on the shelves there an AT-AT Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's taller than an Imperial Knight. But the AT-AT Walker looks puny, because it's all spindly legs with two little guns and then a box.
We're talking about a full-size Walker.
Yeah, AT-AT Walker.
Like the one that looks like a dog.
Yeah.
Dog's head.
Yeah, yeah. And
you can't play that in Legion, can you?
Yes, you can. Yeah, yeah.
Bollocks.
So, not the four-legged one.
Yeah, two-legged
one.
For the
two-legged
four.
One. No. Two-legged one. It's taller than an Imperial Knight.
Right.
You know, but you compare the two models against each other, and the AT-AT Walker, the AT-AT Walker looks bad. Like, it looks like, because it looks good on film, but it doesn't look good as a model.
Right. Too thin legs.
Yeah. Well, it just looks spindly, and it's like, well, the Imperial Knight's got tons more detail on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did back Warball, but that was more to see how it went.
But it didn't fund, did it? Got cancelled.
It didn't get a chance to fund.
Yeah.
It was a brave one. It was a brave one.
Mm-hmm.
But they do a podcast, apparently.
All right, okay.
Mr. Warball, Dr. Liam. So what would you like to say about Kickstarter?
There's some crazy.
I'm not sure we went through everything you on there.
Yeah, yeah.
You told everybody everything you spent, which was all very,
yeah,
all very commendable, sir.
Yeah, but it's like that's 5 years of tracking.
Yeah, but what is it like Kickstarter? What's good about it? What's bad about it?
Well, I think you get more. I think personally, you get more savvy as Kickstarters go along. I think, like, when you, I mean, not that I've ever done one, and that's where you should get your opinions much more valid. But I think when you're producing a Kickstarter, I think you have to have it more. You need to present a more tighter thing, don't you? Like, this is what I'm off. This is what you're going to get. This is what you might get. This is where it's going to go in the future. Like, this is the market for that. You're right. You know, penning your thing in. And if say if I was doing like the wrestling game that I'd love to see, I'd know how do I present this? Who is this for?
Right.
It's not for everybody.
No.
It's only going to be for a niche market who like wrestling, who are willing to try it as a game system, and that is who you're focusing on. And you keep your aims low, and because you keep your realities in check.
Yeah.
But there are some crazy Kickstarters I've seen, like two that stand out to me, which I'll just mention. One was that guy's pub, the Orcsnet. Orcs,
yeah, that's pretty
Orcs,
good. Pretty good.
Yeah, like, as it. And the other one I'll talk
which
about.
Which you could use.
Is currently Confrontation.
You pay your £100 membership a year, and you can use it as long as there's no Arsenal home game, because yeah. they've got to fuck off. Because we've got real punters that spend money.
Yeah.
Not you fucking nerds. Get out.
So, was it called the Orcs Head?
Orcs Nest. Or Orcs Nest.
I think it was Orcs Head, wasn't it?
Was it?
Oh, so basically, it was a guy like wanting you to back his pub that he wanted to have.
Yep.
Which would be allow wargaming in it,
but not when there's any football.
But he literally said, but not when there's a football and Arsenal game on.
Because you can all fuck off.
Okay. And
we get real men in.
Yeah.
Drinking beer.
And it was so badly done. Like it was.
He's
like,
done it twice. They were at Salute last year. They had little booths trying to still flog the dead horse.
I mean, clearly, like, okay, so in that case, he's asking, like, there's no market for it. You know, that's like, and the cost of it would be ridiculous.
Well, you can't say there's no market, because there is a similar venue at Warhammer World. There's like a pub.
Yeah, but that's their own, like, area, isn't it? That's a big company. They're
not making money out of
that
pub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not making money out of that pub. They feed their own staff out of that pub.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, and... Because they have to have a canteen, don't they?
It makes sense for them.
So, but this guy's crazy. And the other thing I want to talk about was the Confrontation Kickstarter.
Oh, my God.
Which is just stupid.
It's like a train wreck. So they started off with, like, the world's biggest bid. You had to go in, I think it was, like, 300.
Yeah, I'm going to bring it up now.
So you had to bid, there was one level. You went in, you bid 300. And for that 300, I'm going to give you 150 miniatures spread over 17 different factions. And you go like, why would I want part of 17 different factions in a box? And you can buy the same parts of these 17 factions. What the fuck?
So here it is. So like, but it funded in 2 hours.
Yeah, but not just a little bit funded. It went nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And currently, it's about double what it was its goal was to be.
It's definitely going to fund.
Yeah.
Whether it'll fund enough to make it able to do what they're claiming they're going to do is a different kettle of fish.
You get all pledged for more than 220 miniatures, 17 factions.
It's 220 over 17
320
factions.
€320, which is less than half the price of what they would be.
Plus post.
778 miniatures, 2 battle sets, all unlocked stretch goals. And it's like, what? Like...
I think the scariest thing...
The pictures of the models are the old ones.
Old metal.
Old metal ones.
Yeah, which they're definitely not going to be.
So what are they making? Yeah, what are you actually getting? I mean, it's like... Where's the standard buy-in? This shouldn't be the standard buy-in one, if you follow. Like, it should be... Where's the one where you get the rule book?
There's no rule book.
No, I'm saying you get, like... You get,
is there?
You, I don't know, but like, where's the one where you get... a battle set. Okay, they've added that in now.
Yeah, but now this is the interesting thing, right? So you've got this really, really high buy-in level.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, well, not only are there 200 miniatures in this box, we're going to produce 1,500 individual miniatures or something, they're claiming. 1,500 miniatures in plastic. Well, not like, because, like, the thing about
resin,
metal miniatures...
No,
plastic. Yeah, they said plastic. So not like resin, yeah? Yeah. You can do resin relatively cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to do big scale on it, but you can do it cheap. You can do, like, metals, obviously, that's where you can do bigger scale, and still relatively cheap. But to do plastics, the setup costs of plastics are insane. And you're setting up 1,500 miniatures in plastic. You're fucking nuts, mate. You're nuts. So basically, right, so this thing was... It went like a house on fire. So the first couple of days, it went to whatever the number is... 570
euros. To give some context, we have played Confrontation
the
past.
I've still played it.
It's quite a good game system. It certainly inspires other game systems.
So it had 600k after a day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, since then, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 days on.
Yeah.
And it's gone down every day.
Yeah.
Since that first day. And not only because people have realised how much money it is and they can't get any information about what the fuck these models are going to be. Because we as a club, we'd buy one or two sets of this, maybe, if we knew what the fuck we were buying.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
Now they've released where you can buy a set of miniatures for £30. So why would I buy £300 worth of miniatures when I can just buy the faction I want for £30?
Exactly.
There's no reason.
No.
There's no reason.
They're so just... everybody that did bike 300, because they had, they were fucking drunk or whatever when they backed. Why have I done this? I could just take 30 quid's worth.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's like, I just don't understand.
So, anyway, it's going backwards
after
the first day, but it's still trending on 1.3 million, but I don't think it'll get there.
It says here 500. Where's your 1.3 million from?
Right, so when you're Kickstarting, when you're looking at Kickstarters, if you go to something called KickTrack, that's KickTrack, it shows you the average pledges and where it's projected to reach.
Right.
And for every Kickstarter that's ever been.
Oh, okay.
So whether they're current, whether they're dead.
Yeah, okay, well, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah, it's very, very, very useful. Very useful. So, yeah, Kickstarters should be about doing stuff like this.
Yeah.
This is exactly what you'd want a Kickstarter. I can't find confrontation miniatures for love or money.
No, good mate.
Mm-hmm. So you want somebody to come in and say, oh, we'll produce them for you, but this is not how to do it.
No. No.
It'll probably still fund, though.
I can't see it
going below 300k or whatever the minimum value was.
Yeah.
I mean, to ask for 300k just goes to show how confident they were.
Yeah. But, of course... The market there is it's international. Confrontation's a French game, and there's followings of it all over the world.
I think this might even be their first Kickstarter. The people that are backing it, the people that have created it, and to be sold. But yeah, first created, no back, and then they've never backed anything. This is first creation, and they asked for 300k. That just goes to show how much pent up demand there was for this game.
Yeah,
Kickstarter's just crazy. So you've got a guy that's never produced anything, potentially.
Officially, or on his...
he may have done as a person.
Yeah, yeah.
But, and he's, asking for 200k. And it happened in, 2 hours, bang.
It's it. Funded in 2 hours. Yep.
That's mm-hmm. Kickstarter.
Yeah, that's Kickstarter.
It's like Monopoly money.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. So, to wrap up, I guess, the area of it, talking about it, is like, you have done Kickstarters, Barry. What would you, if someone was out there thinking of doing a Kickstarter, what would you recommend? What have you learned?
Don't run long campaigns. Mm-hmm. Even, I saw, what was the latest one that Gilball did? God Tier. That was only like a 17-day campaign or something.
That's what it needs to be, isn't it?
Don't fuck it. Because they'll let you go 45 days or something, but you've got to keep up.
Yeah.
Communications.
Yeah.
You've got to keep up like Facebook. You've got to go around forums every day, all day. Can't be going on holiday.
Every day.
Can't be taking a weekend off.
No.
Because it never stops, man.
Never stops.
Never stops. You've got to be doing the comms all day, every day.
Yep.
So I'd say 28 days is enough.
Mm-hmm.
Like 4 weeks. You've got to have a market before you start the Kickstarter.
Yeah.
So there's no point coming to Kickstarter and then trying to build up like people's knowledge of the what are you trying to kickstart, because it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to have done that before you go to Kickstarter.
Uh-huh.
It helps if you're selling into a game that already exists.
Yeah,
not going to lie about that. Mm-hmm. And then no holidays. So you said you met a guy on holiday who's running a Kickstarter. It's like,
well, I can't remember the time, but he was going to. I mean, like, he wasn't doing it just by himself. He'd done others before.
Yeah, and you have to have your creative talent available.
But I mean, like, his thing was a minor board game, minor card game thing. Yeah, so like it wasn't a 300,000 17 faction 2 hours confrontation gig
1500 miniatures or whatever.
Yeah.
So you one thing you need to do is you need to have your creative talent available because during the Kickstarter they needed to produce like work.
Yeah.
So for stretch goals, because I only had a certain amount of stretch goals mapped out, and when the second Kickstarter went fucking crazy, I needed to produce stretch goals every day.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes people were backing stuff and the stretch goal was already funded before I'd even released the image for it. Because that's just the way it was.
The way it was.
Yeah, so Kickstarter's a necessary, it's a very, very good thing.
Yeah, I mean...
For retailers.
Exactly, because I mean, it's lovely that it allows the individual to create something.
That wouldn't exist.
That wouldn't exist. And I think that's amazing. I think that, because like, when you go to play in a tournament... with your ogre army, that you...
And win a game. That's
win
the
a game.
First one. That's the one.
And win a game. Or even better, or even more interesting, say you played against it.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's like, not only do you help write the army list that, like, got updated for this game system for it, you also, these are your models.
Yeah.
I think that's a fantastic thing.
It's very good, but one thing I will say is, like, a lot of things, maybe Andrew, who did the American football game, he'll come to this realization as well. There's a lot of work goes into it.
Yeah.
But that will only get you to break even.
Yeah.
So the Kickstarter's not there to turn you into some millionaire unless you're Dark Souls, whatever the fuck in that.
Well,
crazy
yeah, but I mean, and in Steamforge's thing that allowed them to be the company they are, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, unless you're running like a £3 million Kickstarter, yeah. All it will do is provide you the materials and to be able to pay your artists and sculptors and stuff to get the product to market.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be making money out of the Kickstarter unless you're very, very lucky.
Yep.
But that's not a bad thing, because like these things wouldn't exist without Kickstarter.
No, exactly. I mean,
like, who the fuck would pay $10,000 to pay a sculptor to do all this production and
blah, blah, blah,
something that nobody may want to buy?
Exactly.
A company wouldn't do that. They say, like, show me there's a market.
See,
So Kickstarter proves there's a market, and it doesn't need to be a massive market.
No.
Because people will spend money on these, like, confrontations. It's proved.
You
only need 100 people worldwide willing to spend £100. That's $10,000.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of people. 100 no. million.
Yeah.
100 people out of 5 billion.
Yeah.
But that's all it needs on Kickstarter.
I mean, I think it's a fantastic thing.
Although there are some companies that kind of need to wean themselves off now a little bit, you know, little Mantic and maybe gone to the well.
Too often. Yeah,
they've got to keep going to the well. How else can they do it?
I don't know. I mean, like, until they fold.
Mm. Well, I don't think they'll fold. It's just that there's nobody going to stock their stuff anymore because you can't sell it because everybody who wants it's already bought it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not without its problems, Kickstarter, but it'd be a sadder, lonelier world without it.
Man, you seen those 10mm ogres, man? I gotta get me some of those sweet ass 10mm ogres, man. I could brother up, man, I'm jonesing.
Get your jibber jabber, fool, and get yourself to blackgateminiatures.com. That's blackgateminiatures.com.
Okay, so we're not going to do it by getting miniatures update today because we've talked a bit about them and we've also done like an hour and 20 already.
So
I'm conscious that the sweet spot is really between about 50 minutes and an hour and 10.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, so just very similar to wrap up. Obviously, the London GT is upcoming in May the 19th and 20th in London. I believe there still might be
one ticket
available, like from somebody who can't attend it. So that might be the case. If you want to, get involved, like come along to it, even for a day or something, get hold of us. And that if it's still available, it can be yours.
And I see Simon's got one Epic 40K ticket available.
And I think he did. Up. Yeah. So like, there's also if you want to play Epic Armageddon, which I would recommend. A lovely, great game system. I would play that game system again, definitely. And like playing a tournament of that. Maybe you want to play others of them.
Okay.
So there's one ticket available for that as well.
Okay. Right, so you can contact us on the War Master Facebook page or at warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at KingNerdUK. And that was you're not on Twitter. You have to get on Twitter one day.
Yeah.
Because I've said before, you can't really do Facebook.
Yeah.
You can't invite the whole world into Facebook.
Exactly.
It gets messy.
Mm-hmm.
Especially where I rant politically. So. That was the War Master Podcast, episode 92, with Paul and Barry.
All right, thanks for listening.
Good night.
Would you like to know more?